The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. I hope you're all going to have a good time, a good day, and may the Lord bless you. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. You can also email me, and to do that, just send your address or your email to info@carm.org. And I can get to the questions. We have radio questions. We have a bunch that are sitting there. So I can get to those if nobody calls in, which often is the case, or sometimes is the case during the summer months when people start going out and having fun instead of listening on the air on the radio. But you can call me, like I said, 877-207-2276. And let's see, if you want, you can watch. I can hit go on this. Not right there. There we go. You can watch us and participate in the chat if you'd like to do that. Just go to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live, and you'll find it. You'll find it right there. We get people in the room, and 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 in there at a time, chatting, and a lot of fun. All right. Okay. So I was just in a clubhouse room right before I came on here debating the doctrine of the person of Christ. And this guy, he said, I've debated you before. I'm like, dude, slow down. And he was verbal carpet bombing, claiming victories, claiming all kinds of stuff. And I was like, guy, man, stop. And I was writing down what he was saying at 80 miles an hour. And he said like six things, I think. I wrote them all down. And he said, now, wait, okay, see, you can't answer. Because I'm like, dude, hold on. And so verbal carpet bombing. And that was kind of fun. And so I wrote down some notes. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because I'm developing an outline. I do outlines, okay, on Unitarianism and their attacks on the person of Christ and attacks on the Trinity and things like that. And now it's 28 pages. That's not very long, but I don't think it's really kind of sufficient until it's over 50 pages. That's just me. Yeah, I got issues, I guess, but I got a lot of stuff I'm working on there. Okay, hey, why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. And tonight, and let's see, 3.5 hours from now, it'll be 9:30 Eastern time. I know it's late for the East Coast people, but that's just how it is. Our schedule's here and stuff like that. I'll be teaching a Bible study, and we're going through the book of Romans, chapter 8, starting at verse 12. I'm not sure how far we're going to go in that, because there's a break of topic that I really want to focus on maybe more next week. So I may just kind of do a shorter study tonight. I don't know. We'll see how that goes, but you're welcome to join us. And to do that, I guess it'll be on carm.org/calendar. You can do that. And actually, we should put it up on the social media thing, too. There's so much that we got to do. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff. Hey, nobody's calling. Okay, all I'm going to do is get to some of the emails, but before I do that, I just want to let you know that we do, oh, there's the calls. We do stay on the air by your support. We do need it. I don't like asking. It's one of the things that people have said I just don't do enough of. I don't like asking. I really don't, but I got to do that. I got to say, hey, look, would you please consider supporting us at $5 a month? That's not much. And it's easy to set up. You just go to CARM, C-A-R-M, carm.org/donate, and everything you need's right there. And we don't have it go through PayPal. We still have some old ones through PayPal, but PayPal's gone liberal, woke, and we moved away from that a while back. We have another system, and it won't go woke and things like that, so that's one good thing. So, and it works out really nicely, Christian-based stuff. We're trying to be responsible as much as we can. So if you would be so kind and generous as to support us at $5 a month, we want to say thanks. Now, there's a guy I called this morning. I'm not going to give too many details. And he sent a check in, and let me just say Wow, thank you. It really helped. It saved the day. It did. It saved the day. And his initials are GH, and I don't like to give public recognition unless God would take the reward away from somebody, yeah, from the Lord, but maybe, you know, whatever. All right, there we go. Let's get to Cody from
Boise.
Oh,
if there's like a correct way to read
Cody.
If there's a way that
Cody, you're on the air, buddy. Hey, Cody, you're on the air, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, hey, how's it going, man?
It's going. Hey, you're in Boise. That's good. You're only just a stone throw away from me.
Yeah, I heard that this morning. I've been listening to your episodes and heard that, and I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. I teach a Bible study tonight. If you want to come, you can check it out. You know, email me at info, and I'll talk to you if you want, if you're interested. If not, no big deal. But
I'm definitely interested.
Yeah, well, email me, info@carm.org, if you want. And okay. I'll call you up. Give me your phone number. I'll call you up and make sure you're kosher. You know, stuff like that.
Okay,
so what do you got, man? What's up?
I said my question is there a church that you would recommend over any others? I mean, I was baptized Catholic, and I do not follow mm-hmm. the Catholic Church anymore.
Good.
But I've been reading the Bible since the beginning of the year. I've been going over it from the beginning to the end, mm-hmm. just so I know the basic outline of the Bible. You know, mm-hmm. because I listen to a lot of people and they skip around the Bible, mm-hmm. and some verses I'm familiar with because I've already gone over them. Some of them I'm lost, and I'm afraid that if I hear too much that I don't understand, I might get a wrong understanding.
Okay.
Is there a correct way to read the Bible, or is there just any way you feel right?
Well, that's a big question, but I'm going to tackle two things. One is there's a church I can recommend to you that's, you know, off of, where is it? It's in Boise there. It's called The Well, and Josh is the pastor. He's a good guy. He's reformed. He's been doing a lot of good work there, and you know where the Boise Aquarium is? You know where that is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so that's the street that goes north and south. I forgot the name of the street, but it's there. And there's an Albertsons up there, you know, and you go up there near Franklin. And so you just go back a couple hundred feet. It's right there, The Well, and it's on the east side. And I check that out. Seriously, I recommend them.
The Well, as in W-E-L-L?
Yep, The Well in Boise. Okay. So if you look up The Well, it's Reformed Church in Boise, and you get there, you can tell them, hey, that guy named Slick recommended you. They'll smile, because I've been there many times. I used to teach over there and stuff. They're good guys. So I'd recommend that. That's what okay?
I got one more question, then I'll leave you alone. I've been reading the New King James Version of the Bible. Is that a good translation,
good.
Or should I be reading something different?
Well, it depends. You see, I'm biased, so consider the source here. The New King James is fine. The King James is fine. The NASB is fine. The ESV is fine. But if you want serious study, use the ESV or the NASB. If you want, something that's the New King James is a fine Bible. I'm not knocking it, but I would just say that in my experience, Bible study and teaching, that the more accurate translations are the more modern ones. And the NASB is what I use. And I like to say Paul the Apostle used it. You know, you hear people say that kind of thing. And so I use that. And I think it's a very good translation. The ESV is also a very good translation. So those are the ones I'd recommend. Okay. But if you say, no, I'm going to stick with the New King James, okay, you know, it's all right.
Well, you know, I went to a church called the of God in Burley.
Yeah,
and I was going there quite a bit. And I was okay with it until they had a speaker and he was doing a laying of the hands. I went up and he laid his hands on me and said I was healed, and I spent some floor time and I didn't get anything out of it.
The Assemblies of God is overly charismatic and has women pastors and elders, and my recommendation is you avoid the Assemblies of God church.
Okay. That's good. I haven't attended church in probably 15 years now. Basically, I'm asking a lot of people, like, what's a good church? And I don't want them to be biased. Their actual recommendation.
Well, what city do you live in?
Definitely check out the Well.
Okay, what city? Are you in Boise?
I am in Boise, yes.
Okay, yeah. Check out the Well. I would just say check out the Well. It's not too far from where you are. You know, just go down Franklin or whatever. Take the freeway.
But it's actually right down the road from me. So.
Oh, well. Well, go check it out. Go Sunday and look up the Well. And the pastor's name is Josh. And you can check out. You'll see that. And if you have any questions, you can email me. And I'll tell Josh that, you know, that you're on your way, or he'll look for you. But I would just go. And I would recommend Josh. Now, I don't agree with everything Josh says. He's a cessationist in the charismatic gifts. I believe they've continued. But that's okay, you know. But he's a good man of God, a good preacher. He's faithful to the Word. And I can just recommend him without hesitation. He's a good teacher.
And that's exactly what I want. I don't want to be misled by anybody. You know, I want to make these decisions with a lot of thought, prayer, and planning.
That's
fine. I don't want to just join up with the church and find out down the road that it's not the church for me.
You never know. It might be that you don't like the music, or you might not like how Josh speaks. Who knows? But normatively speaking, it's a good church. I would recommend it, okay?
All right. That sounds like a great plan.
Okay. All right. And email me if you want at info@carm.org, and maybe we'll talk, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
No problem, buddy. All right. Well, God bless.
All right. God bless.
Okay. Bye. All right. Let's get to Chuck from North Carolina. Chuck, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Hey. It's going, man. It's going. What do you got, buddy?
I'm curious. I read a book about the Great Awakening, and Jonathan Edwards debated Charles Chauncey a lot up in Boston, and he was Congregationalist. But I'm wondering if they went Unitarian yet.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that debate. I do know about Jonathan Edwards. He was a world-class level genius. That's on the level of Einstein, and Isaac Newton, that kind of level of world class. So because he was so brilliant, stunningly brilliant, I just cannot see even the possibility of him losing any debate. He's that brilliant.
Right. Yeah, Jonathan Edwards was defending the New Light, which were the people who were probably saved through the Great Awakening.
Okay. Yeah. So I have to see and stuff, but I don't know too much about it, so couldn't tell you too much. You know, I just don't know.
Yeah, I was just curious. Because I know you've been talking about Unitarianism a little bit lately.
Yeah, it's been coming up.
Churches in Connecticut.
Yeah, it's been coming up more and more, and it's rearing its ugly demonic head. Yes. Hey, there's a break, buddy. We got to go. Okay?
Amen.
All right,
okay,
Chuck,
thanks, Matt.
All right, see you. God bless. Hey, folks, five open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you want to call me, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Norm from Winston, you're on the air.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing good. So I've heard you in the past talk about, when you're talking about different things, and I can't really put my finger on, I don't remember exactly, but you were talking about vertical things and horizontal things.
Oh, yes, vertical and horizontal.
I think,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you have any, I read a science fiction, Christian science fiction book a while back, Discipling Mitra, and the characters had several conversations where they brought up vertical and horizontal. Do you have any recommendations on it? I like the concept, and I'd like to read more on it.
In what we're talking about in the biblical theology, vertical is between God and man, horizontal is between man and man. That's all. So vertical, when, for example, in Romans chapter 4, we'll find out that Paul is speaking of the vertical, the relationship between God and man. He says, well, then, shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Now, that's Abraham and God are the topic, so that's vertical. And when you go to James, James 2, for example, it's an example of the horizontal. Where it says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works. I will show you my faith by my works. So that's the horizontal, and that's all that's being spoken of. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Anything, do you know of any authors that bring the horizontal and vertical up specifically? Anything worth reading?
No. Well,
besides
reading,
the Bible,
that's,
of course.
Yeah. I've written a novel, a sci-fi novel and a fiction novel, two different novels, but I don't deal with, in the fiction Christian-based novel, I don't deal with what's called the vertical and horizontal that way specifically. But that's all it is.
Okay.
It's just, that's all the concept is, for example, your justification before God. How does it occur? Well, it's by faith only in Christ only, what Christ alone has done. That's how you're vertically justified, the vertical relationship, the vertical issue. The horizontal is, well, how am I made right before people? By what I do. They don't know my heart. They have to see my actions. So that's the difference. That's what's going on. The cults and false religions like Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, they confuse the vertical and the horizontal. And they'll say that both lead to justification.
Good point, yeah. Cool. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Sounds good.
Yep.
All right.
Thank
you. God bless.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, yeah, I've written a sci-fi novel called Time Trap, if you're interested in it. I wonder what happened. Let me see if I do this right now because I don't check. If you go to carm.org website, the homepage, there's a graphic that shows my books, and then it'll take you to another place and... let's see, I guess, there they are, they're in there. Time Trap is in there, and but I don't, The Influence, the audio version is there, but we don't have the written one, which I'm reworking. Anyway, we're just trying a bunch of stuff, and so there you go, if you want to check it out. All right, nobody's waiting. If you want to give me a call, you can get in. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. If you've read Time Trap, give me a call. Tell me what you thought of it. If you've read The Influence, give me a call. Let me know what you thought of it. And if you've read Atheistica, my novella, please let me know what you thought about it. I'd like to know. I'd just like to know. Not a big deal. I got other books, too. Apologetics and Atheism, Notes on Calvinism, Right Answers for Wrong Belief. That's out of print. Christian Defense Manual. There we go. And we have Examining Islam. Oh, boy. And that's got to be... Okay, I got to fix some things here. We got to do some stuff. Yep. Oh, there's so much to do. Wow. Man, there's a lot. All right, let's get to Bob from Louisiana. Bob, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. You should recognize the voice.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And I would like to talk about Zechariah and John, if you don't mind.
Okay. All right. What about Zechariah?
He was the father of John.
Oh, that Zechariah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that Zechariah, the father of John. He's the one that was, working in the temple at Jerusalem when Gabriel showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And he he wasn't real smart because
he asked him,
how do I know this to be, so he didn't get to talk for a while. You know, you're familiar with that, I know.
Yeah.
But his mouth, when the baby was born, he asked, you know, for something to write on. After having none of his relatives named John, and anyway, immediately, they were wondering, you know, when he began to talk after writing John on that piece of paper. Now, what I was trying to get at is in Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant." Isn't he talking about John here?
Well, I have to look at the verse. What verse? I'm waiting for you to... I wasn't sure what you're getting at, so I wasn't following you exactly. So what verse are you looking at?
Verse 68.
Of?
In
what
Luke
book?
1.
Luke 1?
Luke 1.
68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited... Okay, so Father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, okay, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us, accomplished redemption of his people, and raised up a horn of salvation for us. Yeah, in the house of David his servant. Yes. Okay.
Isn't he talking about John?
No, he's talking about Jesus, because that's the horn of salvation, the house of David his servant. That's what's going on. So,
Well,
let me look at the context here. The eighth day, the circumcised a child. We should call his name John. And he said, no one's relatives by that name. He asked for a tablet and wrote, his name is John. At once his mouth was opened, long tongue loosed. Fear came over all of them. It was being talked about in Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was surely on him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord of God of Israel, for he's visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and raised up a horn of salvation." I could see why you could ask the question: is it talking about John the Baptist? But no, it's not. The horn of salvation has to be Jesus. And what was going on is that Zechariah simply prophesied. It wasn't prophesying about John the Baptist. All right? And so that's it. Now, there's another issue, though, I want to get to after the break, because we're going to break. So hold on, buddy. Four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back on with Bob. Bob, are you there?
Yes, Matt. And I'm still looking at these verses in the NASB.
I have the answer for you, okay? So, if you look at it, you'll see that goes on. He's prophesying salvation from our enemies, verse 72, to show mercy to our fathers, verse 73, the oath, verse 75, in holiness, righteousness, verse 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. So, it's a prophecy that's encompassing the issue of who Christ is, what he's doing, what he's done, or what he will do, excuse me, and John the Baptist. And so then he addresses the child, John the Baptist, and says, you'll be called the prophet of the Most High, and you'll go before the Lord God to prepare his ways. So that's what's going on. Okay?
So this prophet, this child, is John, right?
Yes.
And he's blessing the Lord God of Israel, right?
The child's blessing the Lord God?
No, John is blessing when he prophesied. Blessed be in verse 68.
No, it's Zechariah is doing that.
Yeah, Zechariah is doing that concerning his child. This Jesus hadn't even been born yet. He don't know nothing about Jesus.
Jesus was alive. He was just in the womb still. Okay. Blessed be the God of Israel. It's not that a person is blessing God and God's benefited from it. It's just a phrase. May the Lord be glorified. You know, glorify the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise his name. That's what's going on. All right?
But if we get confused on who the Lord God of Israel is, we got a problem, hadn't we?
Yeah, that's right. And doesn't it say that John the Baptist will prepare the way for the Lord, right?
No, he's going to prepare the way for Israel to be forgiveness of sins.
It says in verse 76. And you, child.
What about 76?
Well, let's get to 76.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, let's look at the verses in context, okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Don't continue to ignore them like you always do. And you, child, be called the prophet of the Most High. That's John the Baptist. For you, John the Baptist, will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. That's what it says, right? So John the Baptist is going before the Lord, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a quote from Malachi 3:1, where God says, behold, I'm going to send my messenger. That's John the Baptist, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says Yahweh of hosts. So he says, he's proclaiming the way of himself. That's God. Jesus is God in flesh. So are you going to repent now? Are you going to come to believe the truth about who Christ is?
Since I read chapter 2. I can't.
Okay. Yeah, you can. So who is John the Baptist preparing the way for?
The Most High.
Yeah, it says the Lord, Most High, God, right?
He's a prophet of the Most High God.
Yeah, John the Baptist is a prophet of the Most High. For you will go before me, the Lord, to prepare his ways. Okay? Who's John the Baptist preparing the way for? Who's he preparing the way for? Who is John the Baptist? Who is John the Baptist preparing the way for?
The Lord God of Israel.
Good. And he prepared the way for Jesus. Okay.
He prepared the way for the... Look, it says it right there.
Okay, we're going to move on. Okay. It's just... This guy, folks, if you don't know, I debated him, talked about this endlessly. I proved him wrong. He just can't see, refuses to see, he's just lost. Sorry, but that's what it is. Ed from Virginia. Ed, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, just dealing with heresies, and people don't listen, don't care, don't want to know.
That guy calls all the time.
I know, it's like, oh, come on. And then, when I show him the very thing, it says prepare the way for, it's for Yahweh. And that's Lord God. Well, that's Jesus he's preparing way. Well, what do you mean? You know, and he just ignores it. It's like, yeah. What are you going to say? You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
You put up with a lot of stuff there.
Oh, hey, boy, do I. Hey,
could you write my email down? I would like you to send me a couple things. Good.
Wait. You want everybody in to know your email? You're going to thousands
it's
of people
junk
in here.
Mail. It's junk mail, but I'll check it for you.
Okay. Well, what is your email then? And what?
It's MYBY.
MY what?
BY.
C as in cat?
B as in boy. It's mybywriter.com.
So MYBY what? RY?
RIDER.
RIDER, yes.
At Gmail.
At Gmail. Okay, then what do you want?
Okay, a couple questions. Last week you were talking about Mormonism, and you said there was, I don't know if it was a document or something, that you would show Mormon elders who would come to your door and they basically would drop the faith.
Well, kind of. It was used to destroy the faith of a lot of people. Okay. And it's a 3,913 changes in the Book of Mormon. Okay.
Okay. Oh.
And you can
3,913 changes.
Yeah, that's right. And it's I don't know if I'd look for it, see if you can find it. Now, what's happening
is it a book?
Yes. And it's what it is, it's from Gerald and Sandra Tanner, okay? And Sandra just retired. Gerald passed away years ago. And the bookstore's closed. Everything's done. Okay, now this is where you get this stuff, but there's kind of a transition thing going on. And I'm not going to say too much, but there's kind of a transition thing going on. I know some people and stuff down there, blah, blah, blah. So this book was done. Sandra told me that what she did was she and Gerald, they had a literal, actual first edition Book of Mormon. The very first. It was original, okay? And I've held one in my hand. Bill McKeever, a friend of mine, used to have one or has one or whatever. And so what Gerald and Sandra did was they got the then-contemporary Book of Mormon and the original, and they photo Xeroxed copy. Back then it was photocopy. And they would read the original, and they would parallel it to the then-present Book of Mormon, and they'd mark changes. And some of them are drastic. And so the 3,913 changes documents it. The reason this is important is History of the Church, Volume 4, page 461, I think it is. The Book of Mormon was the most correct book of any book on earth, and a man could get closer to the precepts of God by following it than by any other book. So, if it's so correct, why does it have so many changes? In fact, Sandra told me there's a lot more changes. They didn't even put everything in there. Like a couple of small, or at least a lot of very small things, but she said there's more. There's a lot more. And so that's the 3,913 changes. So what I would do, I'd show it to Mormon missionaries and say, so your book's accurate? Yeah, look at this. And I'd just hand it to them, and they'd fan through it, and they would see these changes all over the place. And in some places, the changes are dramatic. They alter the meaning of the text dramatically. So why is it so?
If you could send me the author's name and the name of the book, I'd appreciate that.
Well, I don't know. There's an author to it. It's just Gerald and Sandra Tanner, and you could go on the UTLM, Utah Lighthouse Ministry, utlm.org, and you can the website's still up, and you can look it up and see if you can order it. I don't know if it's still being run yet right now. That's it. But I would get that. It's very powerful.
Okay, let me type that in. Utah White House Ministry.
Yeah.
And another question, I don't know if you can help me.
Yes.
I was listening to a preacher today, and he was talking about how there are many doctrines, Mormon doctrines, that aren't in the Book of Mormon. And he was mentioning quite a few. And I'm like,
oh, of course.
Do you have a list of that?
Oh, yes. If you go to the Karn.org website /Mormonism, I have a list of many of them. And let's see. The Book of Mormon text, Book of Mormon. Some of the many changes. Where is it? I've got it there. I haven't been on the page in a long time. I've written over 100 articles on Mormonism. And they're there. Think of, you know, the Book of Mormon, Book of Mormon text. Quick look at the Book of Mormon. I think that's what it is. Quick look at the Book of Mormon. Let's see. And, some of the things not found in the Book of Mormon. Church organization, plurality of gods, plurality of wives, doctrine, word of wisdom, God is an exalted man, celestial marriage, men may become gods, 3 degrees of glory, baptism for the dead, eternal progression, the Aaronic priesthood, temple works of washing, anointing, endowments, and sealing. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with Ed. Are you still there, Ed?
Yeah, still there.
Okay, you a Mormon or what? Just curious.
Who, me? Oh, no. I'm a born-again believer.
Okay, good.
I could be mistaken, but I thought the preacher said something about in the Book of Mormon it says Jesus is God. Maybe I don't know. I might have misheard him.
Yeah, the Book of Mormon does not contain a lot of Mormonism. It's really kind of interesting because if you go to my article, a quick look at the Book of Mormon on the CARM website, you see the documentation. For example, the Book of Mormon says there's only one God. The Trinity is one God. God is unchanging. God is spirit. There's an eternal hell. Polygamy is condemned. But Mormonism teaches the contrary to those things, believe it or not. As far as it saying Jesus is God, they did pray unto Jesus, calling him their Lord and their God, and that's, it's been a long time since I quoted that one. 2 Nephi 19:18, I think. Let's see if I'm pulling that out. Right. 2 Nephi 19:18. I don't know. I don't think that's the right one. But it does say they call him their Lord and their God. Jesus, their Lord and their God. Where is that? Okay, I'll find it. Man, I hate it. Okay. They have to calling him their Lord and God. It does say that in the Book of Mormon. Why? I haven't talked to Mormons very much at all, and I'd forgotten about that one. And it is there. So I'll find it. Sometimes a friend of mine, Charlie, he'll find it before I do. So we'll see if he's putting it anywhere. I don't see anything. But I'll look for it here. I'll find it, okay? Book of Mormon.
All right.
Okay. Saying, let's see, Jesus, calling Jesus our Lord and God. Calling Jesus Lord and God. All right, come on. Oh, it's there. I'm going to have to find it. And I thought it was, maybe it's 3 Nephi 1918. And maybe that's what it is, 3 Nephi 1918. I'm trying to remember. Got all these things in my head. Yes, found it. That's what it is. Instead of the, 3 Nephi 1918. I keep clicking the wrong thing. So here, let's get to it and I'll read it. Okay, 3 Nephi 1918. Come on. Okay, and I'm scrolling. Here we go. Oh, you slime ball. I talk to my computers when they don't do what I want. I call them slime balls and things like that. And behold, they began to pray. They did pray unto Jesus, calling him their Lord and their God. So, 3 Nephi 1918. Okay. It took a while.
Okay, great.
All right.
All right, I'll let you go. I'm on the road. I'm working. So thank you very much.
Okay, sounds good, man. You too. God bless. All right, let's get to Ahmed from Arizona. Ahmed, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. So what do you got, man?
All right, so just going to put you on the spot here a little bit. I was wondering if you could open up your Bible. You head to the Matthew 7.
Okay.
Matthew 7, 21.
Okay.
I get to read that, I guess.
And not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven will enter. Yeah. Because if they purposely don't vote because of their ambivalence, their apathy, they think it's useless, then they are not utilizing the God-given gift that they have. And I believe it's a failure. Now, if, you know, they're sick, they can't vote, that's different. But if you just say, I'm not going to vote, I don't feel like it, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Then the Bible says, Jesus says, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Go vote. And don't complain then if the unbelievers come into your house and say, you can't have guns, you can't have a Bible, you can't go to church. Okay. Don't complain at that point. Are we still on the air? Let's see.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree. Because if we don't vote, and we don't vote
the
right people in,
come on, baby,
who God has put on our hearts to be the right people, then our nation is already fallen. It's going to fall even further, and we're going to lose it all together.
You guys can hear me.
Yes, we
can. You hear me? Absolutely.
And that's so scary, man. I mean,
it looks
my heart just breaks.
They went down. Oh, man.
Nation has fell this far, and that, you know, if we don't get the right people in office,
I'm with you. I don't know how old you are, but I'm in my 60s. I've seen so much. I've seen what's happened, and I've seen in the past basically 2-3 years how fast it went bad. I used to think when I was younger, I'm going to see the return of Christ, you know, the Antichrist and all this stuff's going to happen. I'll see the return of Jesus. And then for a long time, I said, nah, it's going to happen way after I pass away. And now I'm starting to wonder, wait a minute, maybe I will see it in my time. The Antichrist, it looks like he's getting ready because of what's happening. Mm-hmm. Unrighteousness, evil, wickedness are just so prevalent. I mean, it's all around us.
Yes.
I don't understand how any preacher could not occasionally, you know, not going to do it all the time, mention the necessity of us fighting against unrighteousness. I just get the idea that it's God's in control, so we need to do nothing. I mean, when God sent, when he freed Israel out of the slavery of Egypt, he did it by punishing people over a period of time. And then he caused them to walk.
Mm-hmm.
They had to walk through the deliverance. It took a long time.
That's
say,
right.
No,
my pastor right just now. Preached on this, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I have a lot of friends. We would do what's necessary. But too many people just don't. And we have to risk. Righteousness is not easy. We got to fight against what's happening in our country.
You know, well, you know, I'm 57 years old, and I got saved when I was 28, and I lived for God for 10 years, and then I backslid for a very long time, and then I've just recently come back to know Him, and what a glorious day that was, because I know. You know, now that you've been out in the world, you know, when you're young, you might give your heart to Christ when you're young at Vacation Bible School, but you're so innocent, you don't really know what He's saving you from until you get out into the world.
Right.
And then once you get out into the world and you've lived it, then you know what He's saving you from. When you actually go to that altar and you actually pour your heart out and you actually ask for forgiveness, and then you know what He's saving you from because you've lived in the world.
That's when I
consider myself truly saved, when I was 28. And I praise God every day that He waited on me and He brought me back to Him. And, you know, that I did go and vote the midterms. And I voted for who I thought was right, and I didn't. You can trust me. It wasn't the left.
Good.
It wasn't the wrong people. You know, it wasn't these demons that they have in politics now.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. That's what I think it is. I think these people are. I think they have demons in them. I think they're part of the crew of the Antichrist. When the Antichrist reveals themselves, these people will be involved.
They'll approve of him.
Yes.
Now think about this. The people who are in power don't care about truth, because truth and money to them are commodities, and it gives them what they desire. And so because of that, they have no integrity. They're open to corruption. They get in control by lies. And they're in control. And then they subtly work to destroy those who stand against them. And we know that's the case. Then what they do is they free the wicked and punish the good. We're seeing this in our culture. It's happening more and more. A young girl, she didn't want a transgender. It's a guy who claims to be a girl. He wants to go in the girls' locker room in the high school and watch him undress. She complained about it. They kicked her out of school. The father who worked there said, well, she has a right to vote. They got rid of him. This is wickedness.
Mm.
What at this point needs to happen
is
you just sue everybody involved for everything you can get from them. Everything maximum.
Amen.
Yep,
amen.
And it needs to happen all over the place. This is why we need a national kind of a registry where Christians can support, where we can say, okay, lawsuit there. But you know what? There are already Christian organizations who are involved with this, lawyer or legal fund. We need to support them, give money to them, and so they can hire more lawyers, go out there and do this. But it needs to happen all the time, and we Christians need to be out in front of, like, for example, that school with signs saying, what are you doing? You know, you want your kid to go in there, you know, and undress? I don't want anybody like, I'll tell you, if my daughter was in there and they said, oh, we're going to have a guy who claims to be a girl now going in there watching your daughter undress, well, we'd have a conversation. That's all I'll say.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
And we'd have a conversation.
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's every day that you wake up in the morning. Every day, it continues to get worse and worse.
You're right. And it's going to get worse if we Christians don't fight back.
That's right.
And it's not a pre-trib rapture thing. I tell people, don't put your hope in the pre-trib rapture. I would be glad to have a public debate on the pre-trib rapture stuff. Not to prove right. how right I am, but to get people to wake up. Don't assume that's right. the right position. If anything, what Jesus says, when you see this, run to the hills. He says, run. And he also says, there must, before the Antichrist comes, there's an apostasy that's going to come. What's the apostasy of? The Christian church. And it, the apostasy is occurring. And I got a question for the pastors. They're listening. Are you equipping your congregation for the work of ministry? That's what your job is. Ephesians 4, 8 through 12. Read that. The job of the pastor is to equip the Christians for the work of ministry. That's what we're supposed to do. Is that what's happening? Or are you teaching them how to be comfortable at home and just pray, don't do anything? Or are you teaching them, hey, as a pastor and elder, I will be out in front of the abortion clinic on Saturday at such and such a time. Join me. Are going to be out over here. Join me. Yeah. It needs to happen.
I know for sure I would be standing right there in front. I'd be right there with them telling them not to. That is just nothing but murder. Straight up murder. And, you know, God is not going to, he's not going to wait forever to come back.
No, he's not.
He's not going to wait forever. I mean, I'm surprised he's waited this long. I'm really surprised he's waited this long, but he's waiting until that last person gives their life to the Lord, gives their life to him. That's what he's waiting on. He's trying to give everybody a chance. He's wanting everybody to have that chance to save their soul.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.